It's an ambitious plan, and I suppose it targets most areas: coaching, player development, participation, high performance, Wexford's GAA infrastructure, finance and fundraising, games, programmes and refereeing, culture, community and club development, health, well-being and inclusion, and PR and communications, which have become so valuable nowadays. I suppose people say money is going to be a problem, but your money is always a problem, isn't it? But I think it's great to have a plan to aim for.
Yeah, it's, as you said, it covers a lot of areas, Liam, and it has to, because I suppose that's the nature of the GAA. Everything is interlinked to a degree. Funding is obviously, we do have a detailed fundraising plan. In fact, we're going to be launching a very, I think, innovative idea next week in relation to that. First and foremost, we're about games, we're about coaching, we're about getting people into our games, and that's why it is number one. I don't tend to put more of an emphasis on one area than others, but coaching is number one, and games is number one, and getting kids playing our games and doing it the right way. Yeah, it is ambitious as well, Liam. I think it's realistic as well. There's nothing in that plan that's unachievable if everyone puts their shoulder to the wheel.
I've been critical myself of the development squads over the years. I hold my hands up and say that, for the simple reason that young boys can get into development squads at under 14 and they stay there up till 19, 20. Some young lads are missed. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's always been a bugbear of mine.
We've probably addressed that over the last number of years, and to be fair, in this plan, I suppose I've been probably working along with various people, but I've been kind of working on this plan for the last, you could say, last 2 or 3 years, and that as vice chairman, there was probably had a fair idea of becoming in as chairman. There were programs that we initiated under Derek as my predecessor that are now probably evolved and that we're able to put more concrete plans around. I think we have addressed the development squads in a very big way. I mean, we now start with, at under 14, we have the bones of 140 hurlers and 140 footballers. Again, we have a high performance steering committee that I spoke about with you previously. Billy Walsh and Declan Brown and Shane McCormack, who had great success this weekend, Bill Healy, a few more, and Kieran Dealey. We're very much broaden the base, get more people involved, keep them involved. Now, obviously, as you get closer to the 20 age bracket, there will be a narrower group at county level, but you're about trying to develop players, develop better people. I think we have a pretty good program in place now, as comprehensive and as holistic as there is out there. And, you know, we're listening to the people. They may not necessarily be fully involved in GAA at the moment, but they're experts in their field, and we're listening to those people. I think we've addressed it. I think the concerns you outlined early were valid. We have addressed them. There are a few issues that we still need to iron out, and there always will be. Tackle those over the next year or two as well.
To be fair, all sports have the same problem. It's not just a GAA problem. How do you, that pass way to bring young people through, and you will lose some people along the way. It's a fact of life. In terms of finance, Wexford are in a sound position financially. I think looking at a pie chart of the counties that have done well, especially in sponsorship, I think we're about third or fourth in the country.
We are. We probably came from a low base, Liam, and we've gained year on year. I suppose we have, for a reason, and I got, since we launched this plan, Liam, obviously there was quite a degree of media attention, and I've had phone calls from, first of all, within Wexford, and second of all, from people outside of Wexford as well. And the one thing that we need to be aware of, and I am now aware of, is the brand of Wexford GAA is actually very strong. It's very positive because of, obviously, okay, our senior hurlers have been successful. Shane and the senior footballers are developing. I think we've tried to do the right thing. Certainly over the last 4 years, we've tried to do the right thing at the right times. We're very inclusive in our nature. We have programs to develop to work with children with additional needs. We've had well-being programs that not too many other counties have rolled out. I think our brand is very strong, and sponsors are very happy to engage with us. And we're very lucky that we have Zordic as our lead sponsors. And we have another of other sponsors, obviously, with Chadwick's Wexford Park and Macaulay's and so on, in terms of lead sponsors. So that has been an important aspect. And raising funds is going to be key, you know, for those who read the plan, and I'm encouraging all our members and supporters to read the plan. We have ambitious plans, but they need to be done. I mean, Chadwick's Wexford Park needs to be upgraded. Our Centre of Excellence needs to be upgraded. So we will all need to put our shoulder to the wheel in terms of fundraising, and our clubs have done that very successfully. So now it's our turn to do it as well.
Yeah, because, you know, when you announce a plan, they usually look at what you mentioned last, you know, how our pitch is going to be developed. We've a pretty high standard of facilities at club club-wise in the county, as you said, with the upgrade of Chadwick's Wexford Park lights, revamping of the dressing rooms and all of that, further development of Fearne Centre of Excellence, which we're lucky to have, and a 4G pitch in Wexford Town. Well, they're the main bones of a plan that people look at. I know it covers all areas, as I said, development of coaching, well-being and all that, but I suppose those are the areas that will interest a lot of people more, Micheál.
The one thing I don't want to fall into the trap of, was, is, and some clubs, not too many, but some clubs have probably developed facilities, and at the same time, the energy to focus on player development and coaching drops that little bit. We don't want to do that. We need to focus across the broad spectrum. Now, we have a big team of people working. I mean, Dave Tobin leads up our infrastructure projects. The infrastructure projects are going to, there's the bones of 4 million. I think I said to you before, Liam, actually, since I became chairman, I've got various calls about you need to do X, Y, or Z with Chadwick's Wexford Park, Patrick's Park, toilets or the showers in Patrick's Park need to be fixed. And they do. The lane into Fearne needs to be addressed. They all need to be done, and we will do them. And that's why we have a plan. We'll do them step by step, and we'll fundraise along the way. And then if our fundraising targets and, you know, recognising the environment we're in, if we don't meet our fundraising targets, well, then within the plan, I suppose, this is why the plan needs to be governed. Within the plan, I will be regularly updating either you or county board or our members and saying, listen, folks, our fundraising plan is going well. Everything is on target. Or I'll be saying, we have an issue here in relation to funding, and this particular project needs to be pushed out a year or pushed out 2 years. We obviously can't go into debt. We are financially sound at the moment, but we need to raise 4 million euro through fundraising, through government grants, through GA grants when they become available as well. So there is a detailed fundraising plan in place. Obviously, again, it's ambitious, and it has to be ambitious because, you know, you aim for the stars, you know.
I believe in plans anyway, because you have something to aim for then. Has it been easier, you know, because of COVID? We know the problems, you know, children should be out a lovely day today, in my opinion. But look, COVID is there, it's a fact of life. But has it been easier, ironically, to get things done and get things passed? Look at convention last week, 38 items were passed and split season. Now it's changed the whole mindset, the whole landscape, ironically, hasn't it?
From a national point of view, yeah, the split season possibly would, I wouldn't say would never have happened, but certainly wouldn't have happened as quickly but for COVID. In a general context, yeah, I think people are probably a little bit more accepting of everything. I mean, everyone would just love to be back out at games, back out at fields, and to some degree, I think people, you know, accept any variation of what was previously there just to get back out. That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, radically change everything we did, because a lot of what we have been doing previously was really, really good. It does, you're able to pinpoint, like I say, Tom Cousins and John Kenny now headed up an underage review committee, and they reported back to the management on Tuesday night, and they'll be going out to the clubs, I think, on the 16th of March. We're able to get this opportunity to look at what we were doing and examine, you know, is there a better way to do this? And I think people are probably that bit more honest and realistic that when we get back to playing games at all levels, yeah, maybe we could do things a little bit differently. And from that point of view, the period not being out of fields has been used well. But so I think people are a little bit open-minded, but at the same time, we want to get back when it's safe, first of all. But you look out on a beautiful sunny day like today, God, we'd all love to be in Chadwick's Wexford Park looking at a game, Wexford play, and then going off and everyone poking around afterwards or kicking around afterwards.
One of the charts that caught my interest is participation targets are pretty ambitious, aren't they? And you've included the football performance targets and hurling performance targets.
Participation-wise, in 2017, myself and Derek met with Pádraig Duffy, the weekend Leinster final, actually. We weren't part of the East Leinster scheme for a variety of reasons. We emphasised that we needed to be part of that. And a bit like now, we went with a plan. We went to Croke Park and said, this is where we want to be. This is how we're going to do it. Bring us into that structure. Give us a GPO structure in Wexford and we'll deliver. And we have. You look at the numbers in the clubs that have GPOs, they've skyrocketed. You know, there's just a huge increase in kids playing the games. And that's down to GPOs, it's down to club effort, it's not just GPOs, it's down to Hurling 365 and Pelperall. We now have participation targets, but they are ambitious. But again, when we get back playing games, if we keep doing what we were doing previously, kids will come, because what parents and everyone wants is a safe environment where their children get to play, they're well coached, and I think we're offering that to a very large degree. We're offering that from a participation point of view. And performance wise, again, this is where we have Billy Walsh advising to a degree. I mean, the easiest thing in the world to do is write down that we win All Ireland and so on. I think the language we've used is that we will be consistently competitive. In one way, it means the same thing. We'll be consistently competitive and we'll be challenged for top honours. And we have put a structure in place, I think, started a structure in place that will allow us to do that. We're bringing through good players and now we're putting a framework around them to develop them with strength and conditioning, with performance mindset, all these things. We're leaning on the expertise of really, really, really good people.
Young people want to play games, and maybe now with a split season, or maybe the way things have changed, maybe youngsters will get more games. And one of the biggest criticisms, I suppose, is that we don't play enough underage games in the summer when we should be hurling, isn't it? Isn't that part of the plan as well to improve that side of things?
The underage review certainly has thrown up some interesting stats. The other thing it's probably highlighted as well is that due to, and we do have a demographics committee under George Hussey examining population shift within Wexford, but it's pretty clear to us now as well, even designing a competition structure within Wexford, it's not that simple anymore, because we have some clubs who are able to field two minor teams, for example, and you have other clubs who can't field on their own at all. What suits one club may not suit others. We have some clubs that, for example, should and can field teams at every year. You know, they can field an under 11 team, an under 12 team, an under 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Whereas other teams, to field an under 15 team, will need to bring up their best 13-year-old. We're examining that and seeing how can we amend our competition structures to facilitate all the clubs, and more importantly, facilitate all the children who want to play. And as you say, play games at the right times of the year. Have them out playing game, the right type of games where we're encouraging them to develop their skills.
It's an ambitious plan, Micheál, and I like plans because you've something to aim for, as I said. I've no doubt that you're determined in your next 5 years as chairman to see it through, and I wish you and Wexford J the very best of luck with it. I like what I read.
Thanks, Liam, and thanks for your support. Appreciate it.